Traveling can be a lot of fun. You get away from home, you get to see new places and experience new things, and it really is great, and at least in theory. There are some hassles once in a while that can really take the edge off your travel experience. Rick Cini, who is CEO of FairCompare.com, that's FairCompare.com, has some great advice to share, not only about planning the best vacations, but also making sure you are a smart traveler as well. And Rick, great to have you with us again.
Oh, it's great to be back, Larry.
Really appreciate it very much. You have an article on FairCompare.com, as I found really interesting. It's called The Four Hidden Hassles of Flying and What You Can Do to Avoid Them. What are they and how do you solve them?
Well, some of them aren't so hidden in some cases.
Yeah.
The first one is sort of the security, what I call the security loophole hassle. Everybody's up in arms about security. It's actually hurt the airline industry in general because people aren't willing to fly as much. There's been some studies done on that people say, hey, you know, all things equal, I'm going to drive, especially on short trips. And in this case, the government actually has, or in this case, the Department of Transportation and also Homeland Security have come up with some clever ideas. They have, at least TSA has this new program called PreCheck, which costs you $17 a year, where basically you go through the airport in pre-9/11 fashion. Liquids stay in your bag, shoes stay on, computer stay in the bag, metal detector and not a body scanner, which is still has a lot of controversy around it. And for $17 a year, you can get this program. Now, the one hassle about it is that you do have to actually make an appointment and actually get fingerprinted and a few other things. So there's some hassle around that security loophole. And then you also have, right now, 3 to 4 hour wait times at many places. If anybody's come back, I just got back from Korea. It was awful. 3 to 4 hours in customs and immigration and border security. This is absolutely crazy. You have all these planes landing and everybody in line for 3 or 4 hours after a 10-hour flight. It's absolutely crazy.
It's terrible.
There's a program called Global Entry you can join, which is very similar. You have to still – the hassle there is you do have to go and get fingerprinted, and they do a little bit of a background check, but it's highly worthwhile for folks.
So you get to bypass then, or what?
Yeah, well, basically you go through and you bypass the lines, go to the zone, use your fingerprint. In some cases, they use a retina scan in some airports, and you're often through security, you know, basically bypassing lines. It's the equivalent of a fast pass at Disney World.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, so it's definitely for people that fly and actually come back. But remember, the same issues occur when you come back from Mexico and Canada. This isn't like, you know, people coming across from oceans. It's still an issue everywhere.
Mm. And then we've got the luggage.
Yeah, the luggage hassles are right now. We saw some of the bag fees go up. Alaska Airlines increase their bag fees. It's the one way airlines can sort of hit people without hitting their best customers, because usually those fees are waived. A lot of people right now, I get lots of calls of people that are being charged overweight bag fees, anywhere from $200 to $300 because their bag weighs 51 pounds, especially people like golfers and whatnot. These are areas where you have to think ahead of time. You have to break up your baggage. You can ship ahead of time. Sometimes it's even cheaper to ship in those cases. And the last one is the one that happens the most to folks. Their nonstop turns into a connecting flight because airlines have changed their schedules and they're not notified on time. Their time has changed. They get an alert and they're told that their flight's delayed by 3 hours, but it's only delayed by an hour and they miss their flight. You have to be really careful about all these changes that occur, especially as airlines continue to cut back.
Wow. Lots of things to think about. Rick Cini, CEO and co-founder of FairCompare.com. And say a few words about FairCompare.com, by the way.
Sure, yeah. I mean, basically, we have the world's largest airline ticket database. We've been storing data historically for 10 years. And our whole goal is to help people save money so we can go back, look historically, tell you when to buy, tell you when the best days to fly are, when the price points break. Basically, we're an advice company. So not only can you shop for airline tickets and comparison shop, which everybody should be doing, you also can get some great advice around that.
You can join in with your question. Maybe you've got a trip in mind. Maybe you've got an experience to share about a trip that you took.
Yeah, and I'm supposedly the number one airfare expert in the country. So if you have something you want to stump me with, go ahead and give me a try.
Give them a try. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. Or go to my Facebook page. You can post there at The Larry Mueller Show. Let's go to Joanna in Loganville. Hi, Joanna. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you. My family and I are looking at going to Bonaire, not till next June, so we're still at the beginning of stages of things. We'd like to be gone 10 days. And initially, when we're looking at flight information, it looks like the large carriers only fly in and out of Bonaire on Saturdays. But they do service a couple nearby islands, Aruba and Curaçao, more frequently. And then there appears to be some regional Caribbean airlines that do go between Aruba or Curaçao and Bonaire fairly frequently. So I was wondering if you know anything about those Caribbean airlines. Are they reputable? Should we consider that?
Each airline, and definitely you want to go to the State Department website and look at the particular countries. It's sort of governed by country. So as each airline has their own security standards, almost all of the airlines in that particular area are governed by certain standards. Now, there's two sets of standards. One is sort of the U.S. standard, and one is for airlines that have less than 10 passengers on their planes. So you need to be careful about when you book those particular ones. If it's less than 10 passengers on the plane, you want to check them out and make sure they actually adhere to the same standards as sort of the normal U.S. standards. It depends on the particular airline, but all the ones that you'll see on the major travel websites, online travel agencies, partners for airlines, they've all been vetted by those particular agencies and airlines.
Mm-hmm. So when we're looking on, for example, Travelocity right now, and it doesn't really come up as an option to use those Caribbean airlines,
then you need to do some extra checking if you're going to buy those tickets separate. And there's several of those. There's lots of these little mom and pop ones that are out there. Many of them are very good. I've taken many of them in the past, but you definitely want to check them out.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. I remember, and this is years ago, so I'm sure this has changed, but Liat, I lived in the Caribbean for a while, and so I had to fly a lot on Liat. And Liat, the people always joked that Liat stood for Leave Island at Any Time.
I've probably heard every combination of airline name in the world. I just actually wrote a column for ABC News and included some wacky airline names like Yeti Airlines and Scoot Airlines and a variety of other ones.
Daryl in Winona, Minnesota, we're on to you. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, I'm wondering what the best time to fly to Fiji is. I'm trying to plan a trip with me and my fiance.
Well, those particular tickets, and you're going to typically be launching off from the West Coast, depending on how you get there from the Wisconsin area, whether you're going through Chicago, Milwaukee, or even a regional airport. Your launch-off point typically is going to be Los Angeles as you head towards Fiji. The best time, there's not really a perfect time of year. There is a rainy season there. You want to avoid that. The ticket prices tend to range in the $1,500 to $2,100 range.
Okay.
You want to start shopping about 4 months ahead of time for those tickets. If you shop outside of 4 months, you're going to be paying a little bit too much for those tickets. And don't buy your ticket any later than a couple months before departure. On those particular trips, I like to get a domestic ticket to Los Angeles, for example. It's a very long flight. Hang out in Los Angeles and then actually base your ticket out of Los Angeles. The ticket prices are usually about 40% cheaper.
Well, thank you.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. We got an email from Bonnie in Green Bay. Two of us will fly from Tucson to Green Bay for most of December. Dates are flexible. Airports are not flexible. So it's Tucson to Green Bay. Finding fares of nearly $500 now. When should we be buying, and are lower fares possible?
She's going in December, did she say?
Yeah. Any time in December. Most of December, but they can leave any time.
Yeah, definitely. If you're going to be leaving in December domestically, the breakpoint date is December 16th. That's when airlines start treating everything as holiday travel, and they bump up prices by anywhere from 60% to 70%.
Yep.
And so those first 2 weeks, I'm looking in our system right here. I see most of the ticket prices require two stops. There's a couple of one stops. The one stops are in the 550 range, and the two stops are in the mid 400s right now. I wouldn't expect that ticket price to be any higher than about 400 if you waited another month and a half or so. So you should save yourself at least 50 to 80 bucks if you wait a month.
Bob and Weyerhaeuser, thank you for calling. Hi.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, my wife and I are going to be in Munich dropping our rental car off, and we need to get either to Rome or to Milan. Wonder if there's any cheap airlines doing that route.
There's a couple of them. You'll have Ryanair. They may not be exactly to those exact locations. They're a little bit outside the airport. You also have Air Berlin. So I'd be looking at those two airlines right now, especially if you're in Munich and flying out.
Okay.
All right.
All right. That's it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks very much for calling. Appreciate it. And we got an email from Ariana. I'm looking for flights from Milwaukee to Ontario, Canada during Thanksgiving week. They're about $100 more than other times. And will they still go down within the next month, or could we leave from Green Bay or Madison? But need to fly into Ontario. So they're thinking Milwaukee.
Yeah, right? They're going to be more expensive out of Green Bay and Madison. There's sort of a regional upcharge of $40 each way for the convenience of flying out of those airports, because you're going to end up connecting probably in Minneapolis or Chicago.
Yeah,
as part of that. You know, ticket prices right now showing for that sort of late November time frame in the $550 to $600 range, depending on what day you pick. If you, for example, went the Monday before Thanksgiving and returned the Saturday after, the ticket prices drop to about $410. I would definitely wait about 3 weeks for Thanksgiving purchases. Airlines are only now dabbling on, you know, their ticket price drops for November. They tend to have this three-month window where they manage their seats, and outside that window, the prices are much higher.
Oh, well, we've already had quite a few people call and say, hey, Rick was talking about this fast pass sort of. Could you run through that once more?
Yeah, so it's called TSA PreCheck, and it's at 42 airports, expanding to probably close to 80 airports, so it should catch most airports. The smaller airports typically are so small that the checking is not a fun. So it costs $85 for 5 years. You can just type in TSA PreCheck into Google, and it'll take you right there. In essence, you go and you get interviewed, you get fingerprinted, and once you do that, they have a special lane at the airport, and it'll actually show on your boarding pass. I just used it the other day. And you walk in, and they say, hey, you're qualified for TSA PreCheck. You walk in, put your bag on the thing, walk right through the metal detector, and you're finished, just like you did prior to 9/11.
Oh, wonderful. Rick Cini, CEO and co-founder of FareCompare.com, is our guest today, talking with him about low-cost air travel, how to get rid of some of the hassles of flying, and he'll be with us right up until 12:30. Stay with us. Travel is so much fun, whether it's just getting away to enjoy nature, maybe it's strolling the streets of a new city. I think most of us have an ideal of what an ideal vacation or a great vacation would be. Larry Mueller here. Rick Cini, founder and CEO of FareCompare.com, our guest. He helps us navigate the world of airfares and keeps us informed of trends that he sees in the industry. And Rick, always great to have you with us.
Oh, it's always great to come on.
Thank you so much. We have lots of people with questions here, and I want to get to a few that Celeste emailed us in Madison. Celeste says, we're going to France for a couple of weeks next May. I thought I'd be smart and use miles for one, but even with that free ticket, the fees are $400.
Yeah, they're actually charging for fuel surcharges then, and you have to be careful of which airline you do it on. Airlines like British Airways, for example, will charge you up to $600 or $700. Remember, right now, flights to Europe have a $450 on average fuel surcharge and $170 in taxes and fees. Your free ticket should waive both of those things if you're using United or Delta or American. But if they're using one of those underlying carriers to make that flight, in this case, it's probably Air France, they're going to be charging you those fuel surcharges. So see if you can actually pick an actual flight on Delta, for example. There won't be that $450 charge or fee there.
Oh, so this Celeste said American.
Oh, it's on American. That would be on British Airways, then their partner. So, yeah. So you got it. You have to get on, for example, a connecting flight in Chicago. That's an American flight, not operated by EA. I mean, operated by British Airways. It's actually an American flight. If you do, they do waive those fees.
All right. Let's turn to Janice in Harbor Springs, Michigan. Hi, Janice.
Hi. I'm calling to share some information that might save a real headache for some people who may not know that if you are booking a flight for an unaccompanied minor,
yes,
you cannot put the buy a ticket for him or her on the last flight of the day for a given destination. And the agent who booked this flight apparently didn't know that. And when we got to the airport, we were turned away. There is a fee of a couple hundred dollars for an unaccompanied minor that was supposed to be included in the price, and it wasn't. And we didn't know that till we got there. So then we went through an agent. So those are a couple of pretty important things to know.
Absolutely, and also, yeah.
And I have a question.
Sure.
If it had been booked online and you put in where you have the child, adult, or senior choice, if you put in child, will the automated system prevent you from booking the last flight?
No, it won't. And you have to be very careful with this. When you put in, basically, those things, adult, child, and whatnot, they're there for sort of multi-person itineraries if you do put them in. If you do pick a child, for example, zero to 2 years old, an infant or something, it won't even let you do the search. In these particular cases, you have to actually call to do the unaccompanied minor. There's no way to do that online.
So
you have to call the airline directly. They're much more in tune with those rules than travel agents are. And so you have to sort of, make sure that this happens with the airline.
Okay. Thank
you. All right. Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling. Leo in Port Edwards. Hi.
Hi. We're planning a trip to New Zealand next February. Dates are somewhat flexible. I have a couple questions. First of all, we've been told to help break up the length of that flight. Stops in places like Hawaii or Fiji are good. Secondly, if you do that and you book on different airlines for different segments of the flight, like you mentioned earlier, flying domestic to, say, Los Angeles or San Francisco, and you end up missing a connection, do you have problems if you have multiple airlines with one airline not trying to accommodate you because another airline's flight was late?
That's correct. Yeah, if you're buying separate tickets, you need to leave yourself plenty of time, a leeway. I like to leave at least one night in between in order to do that because the length of the trip is very – I just got back from Korea last week, and that's a 14-hour flight against the wind going there. Luckily, it's a little faster coming back. And it's a really painful flight. It doesn't matter where you sit. And in those particular cases, when I do buy those tickets, I tend to separate them out and give them plenty of leeway. Now, you can buy a ticket when you have an international transfer point. You have a 24-hour connecting window, right? So you can actually buy that ticket and stop in Los Angeles and spend the night and take it on one itinerary, but you're going to have to probably call a travel agent to actually book that. Typically, the low-cost websites and online websites don't offer those trips.
That was another question, because we've never flown this distance before, and we're wondering whether, given the intricacies of this, whether we should just use a travel agent to make the arrangement.
I think if you're not comfortable with it and you have a good qualified travel agent, it's perfectly reasonable to do that.
Is there a timing in terms of season?
You're going in February, so typically you don't want to start shopping for that ticket till about 4.5 or 5 months before departure. So you're a little outside of that window right now. I'd be waiting about a month and a half or two.
Mm-hmm.
And then you should be able to find tickets in that February time frame, and sort of all your tickets all combined in at about the $1,500 all-in round-trip range.
Okay.
All right.
That's wonderful.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling. Someone else had the same question, except they may be leaving in December or January for Christchurch, New Zealand, wondering about when to start looking.
Yeah,
for
if they're
fares.
Looking for early December, I definitely would be shopping right now. I would be waiting a few weeks if I was going to be going in January.
All right, let's turn to Chad in Pewaukee next. Chad, hi.
Hey, how are we doing?
Great, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, I had a question. My wife currently, my wife travels a lot, and currently she's got the Delta card, and we like that because she gets to upgrade me to first class, so I get a nice big fat seat. my question is we fly out of Milwaukee, and Delta doesn't have very many direct flights, so I was wondering if there was another carrier, United or something else, that has, you know, a card associated with it, and things that... like frequent flyer and ways to get upgraded so that in the future we don't have to make, you know, a lot of stops. Like we don't have to go to Cincinnati to go to Vegas, you know.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the number of airlines is getting smaller and smaller, although the Department of Justice is trying to block the U.S. Airways-American merger, so maybe it won't get as small as we think. In your case, out of Milwaukee, AirTran has a lot of flights out of there. Frontier has a flight. They both have frequent flyer programs that offer those kind of benefits. Certainly, you do have some flights on United, even on American and Delta. Basically, if you're on Delta, you're going to connect through Minneapolis. If you're United, you're probably going to end up having to travel out of Chicago. In American, you're always going to end up connecting through Dallas.
We also, if we have a big layover, we go to the Delta Sky Club, which is nice. You get a couple vegetables and stuff. Do the other carriers have those types of clubs?
They do. They typically, those clubs typically on that credit card, that's probably a high-end credit card that costs $400 a year. They have those club privileges. Unless you buy that or she's an ultra-elite traveler, it's going to, that particular credit card, the other companies do have them, but they're about $400 a year in fees for that. Yeah. So okay. Not only that, you get to cut in line and do some other things too along with those credit cards, but they are expensive.
Yep, they are. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call, Chad. By the way, you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Laura in Madison emailed us. She's flying to Colorado to play in her cousin's wedding. Wonders, what's the best way to take her guitar? Can she gate check it? What's the best way?
Well, the funny thing, I was sitting with these two people that had guitars, and of course, if you ever go Google United and guitar, and there's a really great series of videos around the songs that were created about United trashing this one guy's guitar a couple times.
Yeah.
The best thing to do, in my opinion, it depends on your guitar. You know, if it's been signed by Eric Clapton, then I might put it in the seat next to me.
Yeah.
But, it, you know, in general, they do have special handling. You pay an extra fee for that. You certainly want a case that can handle that because it doesn't matter who it is. You know, people toss those things around. So if it's really important to you, you put it in the seat next to you and you can actually buy a ticket for it.
And sort of to go along, well, it's a totally different item, but Christopher emailed, he's going to go out to Colorado in a couple of weeks and wonders about FAA rules regarding firearm transportation on commercial aircraft. I know the firearm must be in a locked case and the ammunition must be stored in a separate bag. Other than that, anything else he needs to be aware of?
Yeah, well, you have to bring it into the airport in a locked case. You have to unlock the case, show it to the gate agent, make sure that it's unloaded. They will actually tag it and sticker it, make sure it goes back in your bag. You have to have a locked bag, and then there's some special process. But you will not be able to carry that in through security or anything like that. It has to go outside of security. Whether it's a rifle or a handgun or anything, all of them have the same procedure.
Yeah, I've been on several trips to Canada for golf, actually, with hunters, and you know, many of them had guns, and of course, they never had them on the plane; they were in the hold.
Absolutely, yeah. No, you need yourself some extra time because if you're in the normal line, they typically only have one or two people that are qualified at the gate to actually handle that kind of stuff, and they're going to move you off to a separate section to make sure all that gets all the I's get dotted and the T's get crossed.
Yeah. Debbie emailed, kids got engaged 6 months ago. Airfare to Hawaii has doubled since then. The wedding date is November of 2014. We were told we're not allowed to order until less than a year out.
And yeah, you can only buy an airline ticket 11 months in advance of travel. So basically, you can't even buy those tickets yet. Depending on what time of November, as long as it's outside of the Thanksgiving time frame, you should be able to find tickets in the $600 range, but you don't want to be shopping until way after sort of the wintertime and maybe middle spring, late spring next year.
So you really, really want to be waiting.
I know everybody likes to lock in, but if at that 11-month mark for November, which means you can buy your ticket in December, those ticket prices will be $1,000. If you wait until sort of mid-spring, you'll be able to find that ticket for $600.
And, you know, it's talking about price and that. I know there are people that say, oh, gee, things are too expensive. I just don't want to fly. But you had a nice article on faircompare.com about the five reasons to travel now and where to go, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I really like, you know, sort of picking the right cities in the country. A couple of my favorites right now are Seattle. It's the cheapest city in the country to fly to. We have no idea why, but it's great for this late summer and early spring, for example. Tons of really cheap stuff to Boston, for example. I mean, the reasons are, I hear them all the time. Hey, I'm working too hard. My kids are driving me nuts. We're all so busy, we just can't do it. You know, and really the whole idea is that the adventure is actually closer than you think. You know, at least a couple times a year, and I live in the Dallas area, we'll zip down to San Antonio, which is a one-hour flight, and just go for a couple days, for example. So just getting away can be really easy and very cheap. And many times those tickets are $60 round trip.
Yeah, life's kind of too short, you know, for well, regrets.
Yeah, you know, this year I've sort of counted up leisure trips, and we're going to be doing, I think, around six of them. But at least four of them were just weekender trips where it didn't affect work at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Bill in Greendale, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hello. How are you?
Great. You're sounding way away from us. Can you get closer to your?
Yeah, how's that?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. All right, what my problem is, I have a ticket that I bought from United Airlines that will take my wife and me to Quebec City on October 12th.
Okay.
My problem is that we don't get in there until way late at night, and it's onto a ship. Now, the ship is not sailing that day, but when you get in very late, you can't do that. And what I want to do is change this ticket in some manner. How would I go about doing that?
Well, you can do it online. I think in this case,
well,
it's worth it.
I can't do it online, sir.
Sure, okay.
That's the reason the ticket is wrong.
Yeah, no problem. You definitely want to call United. Did you buy your ticket through United, or did you do it through a travel agency?
No, it was done online for me.
Okay, mm-hmm. So call United Airlines. They will be able to there's on your ticket, there'll be what's called an e-ticket number. It's a long number. At the bottom of the ticket, they'll ask you for that number, and then they'll help you rearrange new travel and change of time. I just have you be aware there's a $200 change fee for changing your tickets, plus any difference in cost and travel. So just be aware of that.
Yeah, probably going to cost you a little bit of money, but you will also make your ship. So there you go, Bill. Good luck. Chuck in Beaver Dam. Hello.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
My daughter is going to be studying abroad in the spring in Rabat, Morocco. And we're trying to figure out the best way to plan getting tickets. Do you recommend for situations like this where there's an extended stay, should we buy a one-way ticket to Morocco now and leave the return open? Or should we try and, you know, schedule that far out? What's a good strategy for?
Sure. This happens all the time. First of all, one-way tickets to Europe typically are four times the round-trip cost. So you don't want to buy a one-way ticket, and it won't matter because you'll see the sticker shock and you'll go, well, this is nuts. Two round
this
trips
isn't
are
gonna
cheaper.
This is going to happen.
Two round trips are cheaper, even if I pick the wrong date. Here's what I always tell folks, especially if they're going to stay for 3 or 4 months. Go ahead and pick a date to come back, right? Your ticket price, depending on when you buy to Europe right now, is going to be between depending on what time of year she's leaving, between $950 and $1,200 round trip. Pick a date when you want to come back. Even if you end up not coming back on that date, make sure you let the airline know ahead of time. You'll still save the residual value of that ticket, and they'll still charge you a round trip price when you rebook the ticket.
Okay.
That's the simple way to do it.
All right. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Yeah, sure. Appreciate it very much. We had Bob in Milwaukee up next. Hi, Bob.
Hi there. I had a question. My wife and I just traveled to New York City and had a great time over 5 days, and we're hoping to be able to go back more often for an extended weekend or a few days at a time. I'm just wondering if there's any recommendation on days of the week to travel to make it less expensive or make it more convenient.
Yeah, we did a study with several billion different examples of travel, and the cheapest day to travel overall is Wednesday. The two cheapest days are Tuesday and Wednesday to travel, and the third cheapest day is Saturday. Typically, you'll save anywhere from 8 to 14% if you travel on those days. Even if you do half your trip on those days, you'll get half the savings.
Great. Thanks.
Thanks a lot for calling. And Bob in Milltown, thank you for calling. Hi.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. I am flying in March, second and third week, to Maslan, my wife and I, for a two-week stay. And I'm wondering when's a good time to shop for them. And then another problem I seem to find is because it's a timeshare, they usually don't let you come in until Monday. And I'm wondering if there's a good way to maybe come in on Sunday with Expedia or something like that and just spend an extra day there to get a nonstop flight and a better price.
Yeah, there's not a huge amount of nonstop flights into Mazatlan that connect very what city are you going to be based out of?
Mazatlan.
I mean,
Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Minneapolis. Okay, yeah, Minneapolis I think there's at least one airline that has, but I don't think it's a daily nonstop. The ticket price is typically under $500, depending on when you want to buy that for that. So $500 round trip. And staying an extra night, I don't think that there's any issue with that in that particular case. You're just going to I don't know if it's going to be your schedule, because usually those are like only three flights a week on that particular route that are nonstop.
Okay.
So you're going to end up connecting probably most likely.
Yep.
Right. All right. And then what do you think I should be looking for tickets for this?
And did you say you were going in February, March?
March
of next year. Yeah, you definitely want to wait to sort of about 4.5 months before departure. So I'd start looking sort of that first couple weeks in December.
All right. Thanks for calling. A Facebook from Eric, who's flying to St. Lucia in January or February, late January or February. Too early to book. He's seeing some decent $600 prices now.
Yeah, if you find the $600 range in the mid-600s to St. Lucia, you're not going to get it any better than about $570, from at that time frame. So you're only going to save yourself maybe 5 or 7%. Go ahead and lock in if you see that $600 rate.
Absolutely. Tiffany had a friend flying Frontier Airlines, 8 a.m. departure time. They arrived to check in at 7:21. And the woman greeted her party happily and then told them that they were going to miss their flight because her computer was locked out and would not let them board. So 39 minutes later, they watched their flight leave even after no less than four other airlines tried getting them on a flight. But the extra cost just wasn't feasible.
Yeah, most airlines have an hour check-in time. I just wrote a column for ABC News that'll be coming out next week that asks for them to stop some of this craziness. If we can get security lines shorter, people should be able to get into the airport a little bit later. In that particular case, it was more the computer system not letting them. If they had gotten their boarding passes ahead of time, for example, typically that's not an issue as long as they didn't have to check a bag.
Yeah, we always anymore. Now, we get our boarding passes before we're at the airport. I mean, it makes no sense.
Yeah, typically, if you don't want to pay for seats nowadays, you have to get that boarding pass at the 24-hour mark when they start to release some of the window and aisle seats, or you have to pay a fee for those on many of the airlines today. So getting your boarding pass ahead of time, if you don't have a computer or phone, get your kids to do it for you. They do have cell phone apps. Most of them support getting your boarding pass. Always get your boarding pass ahead of time. I particularly also like to check in at the kiosk to see if they're giving any special deals, upgrades and whatnot. A lot of times they discount count those things at the last minute.
Yeah, they do, and we've had some luck that way as well. Well, Rick, it's always a pleasure. Again, go to your website, faircompare.com, and get some up-to-date price information.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. We'll always try to save you as much money as we can. And the simple things, if you just shop one day earlier than you're thinking about shopping, for most people, you'll save some money.
Good points. Thanks, Rick.
Thanks.
Rick Seedy, who is founder and CEO of faircompare.com, our guest. He does a great job, and we'll have him back. Certainly, we'll do this again with him. I hope you'll join us tomorrow. We've got Garden Talk. My goodness, it's Friday already. Neil DeBole of Prairie Nursery, one of the droll guys that I know, real great guy. He's going to be here with some great information about our prairies and woodland plants and our low and no-mow lawns as well. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.